But today, I do have the honor and the privilege of introducing our guest speaker today. If you have a bulletin, you're not surprised. But man, to know Sherry Eubanks is to love her. And if she is in your life, you already know this. But I don't know that I know anyone more selfless than Sherry Eubanks. She loves deeply, and she cares deeply for those in her world and her friends. It's just an honor. Man, we came almost 9 years ago, and she had youngish children. Her kids are about the age that my kids are now, which is crazy. And I've been able to be a part of her motherhood journey as she's raised children into teenagers, into young adults, and now she's got one getting married in the fall. Crazy. And so she's done an incredible job parenting her children. And so she came to Drew and I a couple months ago and said, I have a word. I just would like to share it with you. And we both read it and just really believed that today was the day that she should share that with the church. And so we're honored. We're excited. You guys are in for a treat. So come on up, Sherry. It's going to be good.
Which means we were kids when we got married, so. We have three very amazing children who are sitting over there. We have Sierra. She is 23. She will be graduating next week from UT Knoxville. She is, as Kristen mentioned, she is engaged to a wonderful, godly young man that we can't be more than thrilled that she's going to be joining next fall in marriage. This coming fall. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, in October. Yes. Which means, pray for us. Alyssa is 20. She is currently attending Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee. She will be going into her senior year this fall. Got it right. And then we have Benjamin. He is 16. He is currently a sophomore in high school, and he is learning how to drive. So please say an extra prayer for us. And for Chad, because he's the one that takes that on. Before I share today what the Lord has laid on my heart, I just want to take a moment to honor two very incredible, special women in my life who have had such an impact on me and my life. My mom, Cheryl, and my mother-in-law, Melanie. I have been so incredibly blessed to have these two women in my life who have shown me what love, faithfulness, strength, and perseverance look like. Not just through their words, but through the way that they have loved and cared for their families. Mom, thank you for the endless prayers that you've prayed. Thank you for the sacrifices you made. And thank you for the steady, unconditional love that you've shown through every single season of my life. Melanie, thank you for your kindness, for your constant support, your intentional prayers, the way that you have loved and chosen to encourage me, and not just me, but you have loved our family. Thank you. I truly would not be who I am today without the influence of both of these women. And so I am very thankful, not just today, but every single day, that I get the blessing to call you mom. Can we just take a moment to honor all of the mothers and the women who have poured so much of themselves into others with their love, prayers, encouragement, and strength. All right, before we jump into it this morning, I'm so excited, a little jittery, so please forgive me, but more excited than anything. I do believe that God has really shared a word with me to be able to share with you, and thank you so much. Thank you for the honor to have the opportunity to do this. I'm going to pray us into this just to reset and position our hearts to Him. Father, thank you for this day. God, thank you for every single woman gathered here today, either in this building or online. Thank you for the mothers, the grandmothers, the daughters, sisters, friends, and the spiritual mothers who continue to love, serve, encourage, and give so much of themselves every single day. God, we invite you into this moment. I pray that you quiet every distraction, and that you open our hearts to hear from you today. Bring peace where there is anxiety. Bring rest where there is extreme exhaustion. Bring healing where there's hurt. And remind every woman here that she is deeply seen, deeply known, and deeply loved by you. Father, let this not just be another message that we hear, but let it be a moment where we encounter your presence. Help us release the things that we were never meant to carry, and teach us what it means to truly surrender to you. God, speak through me today. Let my words reflect your heart, your grace, and your truth. Thank you so much for your love, and thank you for Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lenny. Thank you. Y'all, he had a long one today, so give him an extra applause. All right, motherhood. Today's Mother's Day, if you didn't know. Motherhood. But honestly, just being a woman in general comes with a lot of beauty, but it also comes with a lot of weight. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Being a mom to my amazing, wonderful, fantastic children has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. But if you're a mom in this room, you also know that motherhood is very humbling. Because nothing reveals your need for Jesus quite like being patient with pure exhaustion while repeating yourself for the 15th time. As women, and especially as mothers, we carry so, so much. Be patient. Be organized. Be spiritually strong. Hold everything together. Somewhere along the way, we start believing, gosh, if I'm not this ideal woman, if I'm not this perfect being of a woman, I'm failing. The pressure to have it all together is not from God. When we hear about the Proverbs 31 woman, which Paul stated a verse in Proverbs 31, which is one of my favorites, so thank you for that. I leaned over to Chad, I was like, hey. When we hear about the Proverbs 31 woman, it can feel kind of like a checklist, kind of like a standard that we just can't measure up to, that we can't quite reach, a measuring stick for our worth as women. We have to have a clean house. We have to have perfect kids that never fight or don't talk back. Ooh. We have to have a really strong prayer life. And above all else, we have to have dinner on time. It might be 12 o'clock in the morning, but it's on time. And if we're honest, if we get one of those things done, it feels like a win. And I don't know about you, but if I can get anything done in a day, kind of like finding that one missing sock that I'd know for sure I put two in the washing machine, but only one came out. When I finally find that one missing sock, that's a win for me. But today I want to give you a picture. Julie, when Ace was learning how to walk, did he get it the first time? No, he didn't get it the first time. When our kids learn how to walk, they don't just stand up and just start walking perfectly. Sometimes they stand up and start running. But they don't do it the first time, and they don't do it perfectly. As a parent, you don't stand there and say, oh, you fail. That's too bad. Why don't you just come back to me when you've figured it out, when you've got it all together, and you can finally walk. Come on back to me. We don't say that. What do we say? We position ourselves, and we say, come here. Come on. Come to me. And that is exactly how God is with us. He doesn't tell us, oh, that's just too bad. You need to just figure it out. And then when you get it figured out, then I will receive you in. He does not do that. He doesn't wait for perfection from us. He invites us in the middle of the process. Because you don't have to have it all together to be accepted by God. And if you fall, that does not disqualify you. It positions you for his grace. Making mistakes doesn't remove your worth or your place with God. Instead, those moments are where God's grace shows up through forgiveness and compassion the most. Let's look at the life of Jesus. We don't see him waiting for people to get it all together. Actually, we see him stepping in the middle of their mess, and he meets them there. The Samaritan woman, extremely rejected, very overlooked, and a super complicated past. But Jesus met her at the well, and he spoke worth over her life. The woman caught in adultery, surrounded by shame and major condemnation. But Jesus defended her and called her loved before he corrected her. The bleeding woman, she was hidden, isolated, suffering for years alone. And Jesus stopped everything to acknowledge her presence. And he called her daughter. Mary Magdalene, delivered by some darkness. Delivered from darkness. And she was not defined by her past. But actually, she was chosen to be the very first one to witness the resurrection of Jesus. Do you see a pattern? Jesus does not meet us after we have fixed ourselves, after we have got it all figured out. He meets us in the middle of our story. In rejection, he offers belonging. In shame, he offers grace. In suffering, he offers sweet, sweet healing. and in brokenness, he offers restoration. Sometimes we forget that. Somewhere along the way, many of us, talking to myself too, myself included, we start believing that we have to become good enough before we can truly come before God. And that's why Proverbs 31, as women, can feel so overwhelming to us. We read it like a list of expectations. I'm going to go over just a few of the things. Wake up early. Never be tired. Woo. Keep a perfect home. Raise the perfect children. Always be patient. Always be kind. Always have dinner ready. It doesn't say what time, so that's okay. We'll give you a gibby. Stay organized. Manage your finances well. That'll preach. Serve everyone. Work hard. Have a strong prayer life. Never struggle. Never fall apart. And don't you ever, ever, ever need help. All of that, I don't know about you, but it's exhausting. It can be absolutely exhausting if that is how we look at Proverbs 31. Instead of seeing the heart of Proverbs 31, we start measuring ourselves against the impossible, unspoken standards that we have set ourselves. But Proverbs 31 was never meant to make women feel condemned. It was meant to point us toward a life anchored in God. What Proverbs 31 is not is a perfection checklist. All of my perfectionists out there, I'm still recovering. It is not a perfection checklist. It is not a comparison tool. It is not a measure of your worth. But what Proverbs 31 is a picture of godly character. It's a life formed over time. And it is the fruit of walking alongside with God. Proverbs 31:30 says, "Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised." Do you see? It's not about perfection. It's about relationship. God values your heart more than he values your performance. You are not disqualified. Today is Mother's Day, but this is not a message just for moms in the room. It's a message for every woman. It's a message for young women, for single women, for married women, for women in waiting, for women in hard seasons, for women rebuilding, women carrying silent burdens, women praying for a breakthrough, women who quietly lead, women who hold everyone else together, women showing up tired but remain faithful. It's for daughters, aunts, mentors, caretakers, and for women healing from disappointment. Every one of us has moments where we feel like we're not enough. But here's the truth. You are not disqualified. God's plan is not based on qualification. It's not a checklist, but it is based on transformation. Romans 5:8 reminds us, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." That's a lot of love. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." What it doesn't say is, "I'll wait here. You go get your life together and come to me when you've got it all together." It doesn't say that. It says, "Come as you are, just as you are." There was a season in my own life where I felt like I had to hold it all together. I became really, really good at looking okay on the outside while being in complete and utter turmoil and overwhelmed on the inside. I believed lies like, "I'm not good enough," or, "I have to fix everything myself. I've just got to fix this. I can fix it. If I can control it, if I can hold it together, it'll be okay." Those are lies. And those lies did not protect me. Instead, they slowly and torturously destroyed me. Control often disguises itself as strength. I have to have more strength to push through. I have to push through this season. I have to push through this circumstance. I have to have more strength. God, give me more strength to just persevere and endure. Give it. That is not what strength is. Lies that we believe will become and do become strongholds over time. Now, I want to show you what this actually looks like. This is my backpack. You can ask Chad. It gets real heavy. And I'm going to wear it on the front. That's not how we normally wear it. But for today, this is how we're wearing our front pack, okay? So this is what many of us carry every single day. Moms, single women, young women, women still in school, women in waiting, some of the women that I discussed earlier. This is what we carry every single day. Heavy expectations.